call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is March 2nd, 2015, and the time is 3:31 p.m. Committee members present: Vice Chair Senator Costello, Senator Stoltz, Senator Machicki, and myself, Senator Giesel. So today, we are being assisted by our recording secretary, Ann. Our Thatcher is helping us on the LIO, and Ike is the committee aide. We're going to be interviewing Mr. Sam Cotton, who is the commissioner designee for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. So, Mr. Cotton, welcome to the table. I also want to welcome Senator Wilikowski and Senator Coghill to committee. Senator Stedman has been excused today. So, Mr. Cotton, thank you so much for joining us today. And before you begin, you know, as I reviewed your application for the commissioner position, you included your resume in it, and you have some very impressive military service, and I just wanted to thank you for your service. It's significant, so thank you. So welcome. If you would just give us a brief bio kind of thing, and then committee members will probably have some questions for you, and then we probably have some public comment also on your appointment. So welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I look forward to responding to your questions and discussing the topics that you're interested in. I will say that I'm very excited about the opportunity I have to head the Department of Fish and Game. It's an exciting time to be involved. I was born and raised here in Alaska, and with the exception of a few stints outside, including a couple tours in Vietnam, I've lived my entire life in Alaska. And I think that I bring a balanced approach to this job. I've had a lot of hands-on background at hunting and fishing as a sportsman, as a personal use fisherman, and as a commercial fisherman. I've purseined for probably about 25 years down in Kachemak Bay. I also have a background in fisheries management. I've been, over the years, a member of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. It's a pretty intensive experience there, managing fisheries from 3 to 200 miles off Alaska's coast, the pollock fisheries, the cod fisheries, the crab fisheries, and a lot of other lesser-known species. And in addition, I've spent many years on the other side of this table and in the legislative branch of government, and feel I have a pretty good appreciation for the work that you do. The department's got a huge responsibility to a lot of people in this state, and I'm taking that very seriously. And my goals include doing an outstanding job of managing our and protecting our fish and game resources. A lot of people depend on it, and the better information we have, the better science we have, the better job we're able to do providing access to our citizens to our fish and game resources. My other priorities include work on Chinook salmon research. We need to find solutions. We've had a crisis in salmon, especially Chinook salmon, in recent years, and we're in the middle of some efforts, but we need to do more, and that's a big goal to try to resolve or find out why we're not having the returns we have had in the past. Another goal is to try to diffuse some of the polarization that takes place in fishery issues in our state. I'm hoping that through some better communications, a strong communication effort, I should say, on my part, try to make as many decisions as possible in the open, make sure people understand how we're making decisions. Hopefully that will, and I've already been doing some of that, meeting with different interest groups around the state on issues that a lot of people feel very passionately about. So I feel like we're making some progress already. I'm hoping to have better success working with federal agencies. I'm not walking in being naive, thinking that we're going to automatically have a wonderful time together, but I believe we need to try as hard as we can to work with them. And we've already had some success, at least with the National Marine Fisheries Service, on some things that we've been working on since I've been on the job. And finally, another goal is to work toward a sustainable budget for the Department of Fish and Game. Unlike a lot of other agencies, we do have some opportunities for users to pay for the management. And as we look forward and see a not necessarily rosy future financially for Alaska, we're going to have to work really hard at coming close to a sustainable budget for our department.
Very good. Thank you. Committee members, questions for Commissioner Cotton? Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a philosophical question. Some in the building say that the governor should have deference to all those appointees and that all the benefit of the doubt should go to the governor. You were, as you said, on the other side of the table. Can you recall some of the folks you voted against on major appointments and what went into your thinking, why you decided not to give the governor deference, whichever one it was, Democrat or Republican?
See, in 16 years, I don't remember exactly how many. I'm sure I voted against a few, and I'm not sure I remember which ones I did. Maybe you might be thinking of one in particular.
No. Madam Chair, no, the commissioner had asked me to give him heads up. I think that was fair, but that just popped into my mind. Sometimes those things do pop into this. But I was one of those. Of course, I thought it was just trying to frame the whole discussion on that. And
well, obviously, that's part of the role of the legislature. It's very clear that that's your responsibility to make the determination as to whether the candidate's a qualified and the appropriate person for the job. But I don't really remember which appointments I might have voted against. I suspect there were some. So,
all right. Any further questions?
No, no, no.
Okay, great. So, a question for you. You have extensive experience in fisheries, and I look at your resume, there's a lot there on fisheries. So the federal government, of course, is putting forth this concept of ocean zoning. They're expressing a great deal of concern about ocean acidification and climate change. So it's conceivable that they could use that theory to actually regulate the harvest of salmon, which spend much of their life out in the ocean. Then, of course, they would take control of our harvests. I mean, this may seem like a long way off, and yet they seem to be moving fairly quickly in a lot of usurping of our access to resources. How do you balance this out with what the feds are trying to do and their focus on climate change and ocean acidification and the fisheries?
Well, that's an opportunity, Madam Chairman. We have an opportunity as a working majority on the North Pacific Council, so we often interface with National Marine Fisheries Service on issues like ocean zoning. I don't think there's a serious threat or an interest on the part of the United States government to get involved with salmon management here. But there are other issues that could affect Alaska in regard to ocean zoning, or in the recent case with stellar sea lion mitigation measures, a lot of areas were closed to fishing that had an effect on Alaskans. So those are battles that we are sometimes successful at the North Pacific Council, and other times the state's been in court with the National Marine Fisheries Service, specifically over sea lions. So that's an option that is always available. So, but ocean zoning is a federal, if it comes around, it's a federal initiative that we'd be able to express our views on, and the council's been pretty regularly against that, not just the Alaska members, but also from Oregon and Washington.
So, following up on this idea of pushing back on this kind of designation, or any of the designations, where do you come down as far as our technique in doing that? Lawsuit, talking to them, how do you see this?
I'm sure it's a case-by-case basis, but we can always go to court, and that's sometimes that's your only option. So that may be what you have to do. I know that there's been other efforts that have had varying degrees of success. Some of them, I think, very little success. But at least at the council level, we've got a direct relationship with the at least one federal agency, the Department of Commerce, NOAA, and the agency we work with is the National Marine Fisheries Service. So we've had some success avoiding lawsuits by working closely with them, presenting alternative ideas, joining with them on committees that study different things like sea lions. So my approach would be to try to exhaust possible successes in areas, and at the end of the day, with sea lions, we had no choice. We had to go to court.
Further questions from committee members? Senator Coghill.
I understood more about sea lions last year than I ever thought I would, but one of the things that came clear to me was we had not only the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, but we also had I think it was NOAA that was not allowing us. So sometimes you have two federal agencies that have very different views of how things should be done. But we had MOUs with Fish and Wildlife, but not with NOAA, I think is what it was. And can you take, like, an MOU that you have with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife to NOAA, and with the backing maybe of the National Fisheries and Marine Council? I don't know. I'm just, were you aware that we had some of those MOUs? And, you know, I think those are some of the tools we should be using more. I started compiling all the MOUs that Alaska has with the federal government. They are significant.
Madam Chair, Senator, I guess I can't say that I've done that, but it sounds like it might be a fairly effective tool to use an agreement with one agency as you discuss the issue with another agency, and that may add strength to your case. I think that's where you're going with that, and it makes sense. I have not been involved in anything in that particular effort, but it sounds like it might be a good one.
I think that, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Coghill.
One of the things that really we struggle with federal government issues is the Endangered Species Act and probably the Marine Mammal Protection Act, as you well know. The way the federal government works is we may be at the table, but they're working around us. And so I think that is one of the struggles that we've tried to figure out, especially with the Endangered Species Act. That has made it very difficult for us to understand what we can plan. So, you know, how do you see that being managed from here on? You know, because I think we've taken them to court a couple of times. So, but I think we need to work, continue. We can't lighten up, I don't think, at this point.
No, and that's, Madam Chair, Senator, I think that's a good example of what we're involved with right now. There's a couple of seal species in the Arctic that are referred to as ice seals, a bearded seal. Actually, there's three ring seals and what's the other one? There's three of them. But it may well be that we're in the middle of internal discussions right now on our next step. That we're not missing any deadlines. We're well aware of the situation. The premise that the National Marine Fisheries Service and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are using with these seal species is the presumption that the climate change is going to eventually, on a 100-year horizon, it's going to lose habitat, ice, for these seals, and therefore we should put them on the endangered species list and consider mitigation measures. And I don't really know that there's any mitigation measures that are going to be available to us, for one thing, and a 100-year horizon. I think in recent court decisions that's been considered way too far out there. So it may be that we're just going to have to go back to court on that.
Follow-up, Senator Coghill?
Probably one last thing. One of the things that I've done in my office is kind of watch what the federal government is doing so that we can at least comment or be prepared for it. The other one that will affect the fish population is the waters of the United States and how they intend to come into Alaska and manage the waters. Have you had a chance to look over that yet and find out what that means to our fisheries?
Madam Chair, Senator, I want to make sure I understand your question as far as the United States government coming into state waters?
Yes.
Right. Well, there's, Madam Chair, Senator, there have been efforts, and I think that one of the efforts is referred to as an ETJ, or extraterritorial jurisdiction effort. It has never been done in Alaska. There's been petitions to do it. But, for example, there's one pending right now in southeast Alaska. Over in Chatham Straits, the petition suggests that the federal government ought to take over the fishery management in that area to protect subsistence use. So the issue actually is in front of the Board of Fisheries in Sitka today, and it sounds like from the most recent reports is that they're probably going to work it out, so probably won't need to pursue that. And that's we've been able to avoid that thus far as far as the ETJs are concerned. And certainly want to continue to avoid that. Alaska doesn't need the United States helping us in our own waters.
Yeah. Any follow-up?
I have another question, so to a different topic.
Sure.
I'm a kid from the Tanana River and tied to the Yukon, and fish have been hard to come by up there, especially Chinook. And we have a hatchery up there in the interior. That maybe could be used. I understand there are some difficulties in managing Chinook as a stock, but is there anything in your thinking that would enhance salmon runs up there in the upper parts of the Yukon-Tanana River?
No, Chair. Senator, there's a hatchery in Fairbanks that is capable of producing Chinook salmon. And we've responded to requests from some folks about information on that subject. You might imagine it's not inexpensive.
Right.
So you have to, when you decide on funding issues like that, you have to decide about what kind of investment you want to make for the return that is expected. And part of the expense is identifying those fish so you can determine how successful you've been. So there's a couple of steps, producing the fish and then inserting the coated wire tag so that when you retrieve salmon, you can see how well you've done. So the answer is yes, it can be done. Yes, the hatchery in Fairbanks is capable of doing that work. It's a money issue.
So, Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Coghill.
We have been doing some studies on those stocks to date, and I know we've put in around the interior, Kuskokwim probably, the Susitna area drainage, Kuskokwim, Yukon River. I think they've done some science study or begun some science studies. Are they tagging fish or are they just counting?
There's been several different efforts. There's an effort known as mark and recapture. So that's you'll tag a fish and later catch it and figure out, information from that kind of effort. We count fish where we can. There's weirs located in several different places. We have temporary personnel that man those weirs in the summertime and count fish. So that's a big part of the management effort on the part of the department is to count and gauge success and run strength. And so
that's already happening, Madam Chair, if I may ask. That's already in the process?
Madam Chair, if you're just talking about that general effort, yes, sir, that's been happening for some time.
Okay. All right. Senator Machicki was next, then Senator Wilkowski. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the Chair, Commissioner Cotton. A little story about my district. The 69 fire has grown up where all that nutrition is out of reach. We've had some help with the Caribou Hills and Funny River fires recently, but game is becoming increasingly scarce in my district and others for Alaskans. How do you feel about a systematic plan for creating habitat on state lands? Is that something you're willing to consider? Is it something you've been considering? And what could something like that look like in the future?
Madam Chair, Senator, the statutes allow, under the intensive management statutes, allow for habitat manipulation or you know, the thing you're talking about. So we can do that. It becomes a budget issue as well, and there's probably a lot of other considerations involved. I was on that forest fire in 1969, so I'm familiar with the area you're talking about. We'd be glad to work with you and your staff on specific efforts if you'd like. All I can say is we're authorized to do it. We're certainly not opposed to doing it.
Chair?
Yes, Senator Machiki.
If I may follow up through
yes.
the chair. So, I'm kind of coupling two concerns. One is public safety and the other is habitat. And a lot of mature forests we lucked out last year, but north of the highway, some on federal, a little bit of state. Just wondering if it's possible for the state to have a program that looks at those issues from wearing both sets of glasses. And if it's, I know that you just said you're willing to look at that. I know we're not isolated on the Kenai. There are many areas of the state in the same situation. It just seems like something that we haven't really been willing to do aggressively in the last 20 years or so. And just wondering if it's something we'd be willing to look at. State used to have large vehicles that brought down swaths of forest to create habitat. I got to drive one once when I was a kid, but just wondering how, if that's something that's at least on the horizon under a Sam Cotton leadership team.
Madam Chair, Senator, don't have any specific plans that I know of at the moment. As I mentioned, we're able to do that. I just know that there's going to be a lot of interest on a lot of people's part if we can go out and if we were to do controlled burns, there'd be a lot of people interested in how we were going to do that, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you're one of them. And the same with any habitat manipulation. I'm sure that there's going to be more than just us involved if we were wanting to move ahead with something like that. But it's certainly I think scientifically proven that habitat has been improved by forest fires, and there are probably other ways to do it. So, and we're sensitive to the fact that the moose numbers on the peninsula are drastically down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Walikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, good to see you. My district in East Anchorage and Jay Bear is. We have a lot of sport fishermen, a lot of people who like to dip net, and the closest place for us is the Matsu drainage, but we just as many, if not probably many more people take the ride down to Kenai to fish, and there's increasingly concerns over the availability of sport fish and kings in Kenai and just fish and salmon in general in the Matsu region. We've tried a lot of different things over the years. I served on a Cook Inlet salmon task force a number of years ago. What efforts do you envision to ensure strong returns to those areas?
This, Madam Chair, Senator, we'd all like to promise more fish. And believe me, I'd love to be able to promise more fish. I know that the Fish Board in their last go-round put in the place a new management structure, and this last year was the first year, the first summer under that structure, and there were good returns, at least for cohos. And we all know that king numbers are down generally, but at least the coho returns in the valley this last year were pretty good. And the scientists that I work with tell me that 1 year doesn't tell the whole story. You need to see more than 1 year to say that you've succeeded. So we're hopeful that we'll continue to see some success in the valley there. There's other things that our habitat division is looking at ways to make sure that we're doing our jobs as well as we can to improve habitat. I know there are other agencies involved in habitat restoration. I know that covert removal, pipe eradication. There are other things that are in play that we haven't started, but I certainly support and would welcome ideas on improving the number of fish in the Matsu and king salmon issue as well.
Follow up, Senator Walikowski.
Yeah, thank you. Do you, there's, I've heard some talk about changing the Cook Inlet management structure at the Board of Fish this year. Have you heard anything about that? Is that something that's being talked about, or do you envision it changing?
Madam Chair, Senator, I hadn't heard that, and I know they're on a three-year cycle, so if the board were to take that up out of cycle and make some changes there, I think that would be a big surprise to me. I'll put it that way.
Thank you.
Further questions, Senator? Oh, pardon me, Senator Stoltz?
After him.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, both senators, Madam Chair. Commissioner Cotton, can you explain what the structure is for fish and game management in this administration? There's been a lot of talk in the media and around the building about that being a divided responsibility and between the two statewide constitutional state officers, with the Lieutenant Governor having responsibility for fish, and some folks have said you were his appointment. And, you know, this is just what we've heard in the building, Madam Chair. And can you tell us how, to the public, how, as you've been interfacing, where do you get your marching orders, and where should, who should we be talking to as we're trying to have, if we have a conversation with the top constitutional officer and then find out that it's the second constitutional officer that's calling the shots, and as we've been, as it's not an unfamiliar refrain that's been repeated around here about there's, that's how it's divided. Can you give us your impression of where your marching orders come from?
Madam Chair, Senator Stoltz, well, marching orders, the Constitution and the statutes kind of prescribe a lot of my marching orders. But the governor's office has been rearranged a few different ways depending on the different administrations. There have been previous administrations have had what's been known as a fisheries advisor or a designated person on the third floor that would be the person that would interface with the governor on fisheries issues, and those folks have had different levels of participation over the years. So this year, the governor, as you may know, cut his budget significantly, and Lieutenant Governor Malotz has some interest in fisheries issues. And in fact, a lot of people have solicited his participation in high profile things like for example, the Boston Seafood Show. I don't think he's going to go, but that's an example of some place where you'd showcase the Lieutenant Governor of Alaska to promote fisheries. I know that your familiarity with ASME would you're probably familiar with. You may even be familiar with that idea. So that's one thing, the Lieutenant Governor isn't taking an active role in any day-to-day management, but for example, he's heading up a task force on transboundary river issues. There's been a lot of concern about mines in Canada that are on rivers that flow into Alaska, so there's interest in fisheries, potential fisheries impacts as a result of those. So there's another example of where the Lieutenant Governor's tried to take a lead role.
Follow-up, Senator Stoltz?
Madam Chair, on the same, on the same vein, there have also been similar conversations from the Board of Fish, the Director of Boards and Commissions, who was the most immediate past professional life was engagement as a commercial fisheries representative, and that there's a conscious effort to realign the majority on the Board of Fish to a majority commercial fish board, which with your competitor for the Fish and Game Commissionership, Mr. Ma, that would have put it to a 4-2 decisive margin. I assume you're involved in a lot of these discussions about the direction, do you have any feelings about that? Are you aware of that? Would you disabuse that as a notion, even given the past appointment that was pulled, or I guess whatever dynamic led to that, but clearly there was an effort to put it to a 4-2 commercial fish majority. And is that do you believe that's administration policy?
Madam Chair, I haven't been informed that there's a policy, and I don't believe there is a policy to skew the board in any particular way. So, again, that's a, you know, a role that the legislature is directly involved with, and the governor makes those appointments. So, while I may be involved in conversations, I think there's a lot of people involved in the conversation. So, that's not an area that I have any specific authority in. But I can tell you, I don't believe this administration is looking to improperly or in any way imbalance the boards. I think that they're looking for good people to do a good job.
And Madam Chair, just one follow-up.
Yes, Senator Stoltz.
Well, you corrected yourself there. Would you believe it would be improper to change the balance we have of a 3-3 when commercial and sport, loosely defined, and then the subsistence seat? You first suggested, I mean, through your then retracted word, that it would be improper to do that. So would it be your guidance that we should keep the same balance rather than a skewed? It might be helpful to us in casting our votes as your counsel.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I don't really have a lot to offer there, Senator. Again, whoever the governor appoints, you're gonna have a chance to make a decision on. So that's, I'm not sure how to respond.
All right, thank you, Senator Coghill. You had a question.
Thank you. Hunting up in my area gets pretty interesting because there are a variety of different rules. And, of course, I have a lot of military folks up there and some people who live off personal use. But some of the enforcement can get pretty tough based on pretty subjective things. You know, if you're an inch and a half off of a moose, you can be hammered pretty good. And you actually get more penalty than if you took somebody up and beat them mercilessly in the street. And so I think the council up there in the interior has been, you take a GPS and a lawyer hunting with you, because the close boundary calls and some of the close time calls. Have you had a chance to look into how we could, you know, smooth that out a little bit?
Madam Chair, that's a pretty difficult question, and I'm going to be pretty reluctant to say too much there. I don't want to say that we're going to be lax on enforcement, and so, and that's a Department of Public Safety effort, as you well know. Okay. Department of Fish and Game, along with the boards, set the regulations on, you know, how big or small the antlers have to be, and so I think we all have to exercise good common sense, and I hope that the public safety folks will do that. But I'm having a difficult time figuring out how to be responsive.
Well, I think that's an ongoing dialogue, Madam Chair, and I think we need to work on it. This year we're going to probably propose even tightening up. If somebody has made a mistake and they turn themselves in, they still be treated like a criminal right now, and we need to back off that a little bit if they're forthcoming in a, what I'd say, a common sense for sure error, that we shouldn't take their rights away, we shouldn't charge them with criminal things, and we've seen that from time to time up in the interior. So it's something that we get concerned about, and I understand we don't want to go light on people who do like wanton waste or really are taking animals out of season or out of size, but some of them are so close calls that we should work in. So I'd be glad to keep plugging away at that. But there are so many up in my neck of the woods that depend upon that as their annual freezer feed. I mean, that's what they're going to live off of. So the personal use is a big, big deal. Anyway, it's something that keeps coming up to my attention. We got to keep working on.
Madam Chair, if I could, just yes. Senator, I appreciate the point you're making, and that there's a fairness issue there. If a person realizes he's made a mistake and turns himself in, it shouldn't be assumed that we're facing a criminal there. That there ought to be. I mean, it seems like there could be some way to recognize that. Perhaps it might require a change in law, but I don't know.
Further questions? Senator Michiki.
So, through the chair, Commissioner, we share a fisheries advisor. Only you have to face him at Thanksgiving dinner, and I don't. Your father-in-law is Clem Dilley, and I assume.
I used to have my own identity.
Well, if I don't follow his advice, it's easier on me than it's going to be on you, but that's beside the point. When he was around, there wasn't quite the same head-to-head competition for limited fisheries resources, and we'll just pick Cook Inlet. You have the authority as the commissioner to operate with emergency orders somewhat outside of the management plan, and that never goes well on either side. And I'm fortunate enough to have a district that has all of the user groups in one. Some of these guys have one user group or another. I have CRISA in mine, and I have KPFA and USITA in the same. You know what I mean? We have personal use and subsistence users, so kind of have the advantage of having a lot of the folks that hate each other all being in one neighborhood, if you will. Question I have is this. You can make all the decisions you want independently, but if you don't bring some of those groups together, there's no opportunity for improvement. So we know we have the Board of Fish process. Do you see any value in bringing folks together independently to sort of find some agreement in some of these issues for the different user groups when you're not mid-season making those decisions so people understand sort of how things work? I mean, what would be your plan? You talked earlier about hopefully making it better. What kinds of things do you have on your slate that might be a process that might deliver some results?
And Chair, Senator, I think that absolutely I want to do that, and I've already done some of it. I've been meeting with the representatives for many of your neighbors' activities down there, and I'm not sure how best to address the question as to whether or not we should get them all in the same room or meet individually or maybe smaller groups. Looked for any good advice you might have for me in that regard, but we're going to make every effort we can think of to communicate with and to try to get as much consensus there as possible to make sure that they understand how we're making decisions. I've already been lobbying on how I ought to be making decisions mid-season, and the fish haven't even started showing up yet. So I'm trying to resist that, but certainly agree with you that communication with the varying groups is important, and we're going to try to do a lot of that.
Okay.
So I want to turn to the National Park Service and their impact on our game, our access to our game, Commissioner. So John Sturgeon using his hovercraft on the Nation River to go moose hunting. The federal government now is saying that they have jurisdiction over navigable waters, which of course places a barrier for our citizens reaching hunting grounds. They also, National Park Service also has preempted state subsistence hunting regulations in a couple national parks on bear hunting, addressing bears in den sites, and also on wolf seasons in a couple national parks. So if you're in charge, what do you do? These are the subsistence, traditional use of the bear den sites in two national parks and the state wolf seasons. How do you address this? Talking to them, or are there other means that you would use to push back?
Now, Chair, I've already had some conversations with the assistant director, and at the last game board meeting in Wasilla, met with the director, Bert Frost. The first meeting we had didn't really go all that well. I think that the Park Service either doesn't want to or doesn't understand what the state's goals are for intensive management. And so we'll keep trying to educate them, but it hasn't gone well yet. The concern that we have is that some of their personnel refer to our intensive game management as game farming. And I think they have the idea that we're trying to fence off an area for trophy animals so that people can mount them on their wall. And in fact, the primary purpose is for consumptive uses and food security for a lot of people that really are, you know, in need of the meat. So we've had good success in some areas, but as you say, in the preserve lands, obviously they've always had control over Denali Park. They're not going to let us go hunting, but the preserve lands are the area that's been a recent concern. So yeah, the game board wanted to extend wolf season in an area, and the Park Service decided that the only reason that they did that was to knock down wolves so there'd be more moose, and they don't like that. And same with the bear denning, flashlights in the dens. So they have a different mission than we do, and we haven't missed any opportunities or deadlines to make comments there. So, or eventually we may have to pursue them in court. I mean, maybe you have some other ideas. You can either talk or you can go to court, or I'm not sure. Maybe there's some middle ideas there.
Well, one of the strengths, of course, of going to court is that then they do have to have conversation with you, and you're at the same table with the NGOs who are already at the table with the federal agencies. Mm-hmm. So we have had some success in the courts on some of the endangered species issues. The landscape conservation cooperatives that are being put together, I understand we've been part of a couple of those, but actually withdrew from them because the federal folks at the table outnumbered us and frankly outvoted us. But these are supposedly landscape management plans, very broad, under climate change premises to manage the use of the land and the animals and fish on that land. So something we've got to be prepared to push back on.
Madam Chair, yeah, I certainly agree, and I think we've tried to figure out a way to make those work to our benefit, but I haven't had a lot of success with that. So,
Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure, Commissioner, I'll just offer you this. My counsel, for whatever limited amount it's worth, is I don't think we're going to talk our way out of this one. It's kind of like dealing with the feds. It's kind of like negotiating with a cannibal. They'll probably just allow us just to consume one limb at a time, and pretty soon, you know, where you end up. But and I guess I'm using another analogy. It's I'd have the same faith in trying to domesticate a scorpion and have it play with my kids. I mean, it's both. I mean, that's how I with the feds. But do you think, through the chair, that you have assembled the strongest possible team to send the strongest that have a fervent belief in defending the state's position against the feds, and not just talking and negotiating, but vigorously pursuing what are our Alaskans' rights, which, and that's my interpretation. I think it's shared by our constituencies back where we both live.
You know, Madam Chair, yeah, I think so. The Department of Fish and Game's got some excellent folks that have been with the department for several years that have a lot of experience in this. Of course, we don't decide whether the state's going to enter into a lawsuit. That's the Department of Law makes that decision, but we support that decision. We provide whatever evidence and biological information we have to support their case, and we also will make it real clear if we feel we haven't had any success with discussions. But that was one of the things I decided to do initially, was to at least enter into conversations with the different agencies that have an effect on us. I think it would be a mistake to not at least understand the best you can where they're coming from and what we're going to have to do to resolve it.
Follow-up,
Senator? Not a follow-up, just another quick, hopefully, Madam Chair. Commissioner Cotton, you have a political history, which I think six people around this table would have to make that same confession if we were. But that is part of your your history as being an active member of your party and an active participant, both elected and a supporter. I have a question. There was a being friends with both you and our current U.S. Senator, the commercial you did, and it was referencing, it was by Put Alaskan First PAC, which was a PAC supporting a former junior senator. And your quote on there was, this idea was obviously cooked up by somebody who wasn't from here, and it had the tag Sam Cotton as a commercial fishing representative. And you, and that was referencing House Bill 77. Certainly not a bill without some controversy, and one that, but just what's your thoughts on, if you had it all over, do it again, would you do that commercial?
Yeah, sure would. I didn't have anything to say about the candidate in particular. I was referring to some issues that were involved there. The fact that I'm not sure there was a tag that identified me as a commercial fisherman. I think it said Sam Cotton, Eagle River. I was expressing my interest in that race, and I supported the candidate that didn't prevail. So yeah.
Good luck.
Any further questions?
Yes, he lost, right?
Any further questions from committee members? Okay. We've got a few people online who are interested in testifying on the appointment. So we'll go ahead and take that testimony. So let's start at the LIOs, and I'm going to start at the Kodiak LIO. So Oliver Holm is online there. Mr. Holm? Can you hear us?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Welcome. So if you would identify yourself for the record, Mr. Holm, give us your affiliation, if there is any, and your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Oliver Holm. I'm a resident of Kodiak, Alaska. I am representing myself. I've been a commercial fisherman and a hunter around Kodiak Island for a little over 50 years. I've spent... been elected to the Kodiak Fishing Game Advisory Committee for more than 35 years, and I've been elected to the local Salmon Enhancement Association for at least 25 years in my volunteer work. I've only infrequently run into, and I'm a third generation Alaskan, I've only infrequently run into Sam Cotton over the years, but I have off and on, and I'm quite confident that he'll do a good job for the department, the fishing game, and the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Holm. So next I'll go to the Kenai LIO. Paul Shadira is there. Mr. Shadira, can you hear us?
Yes, Madam Chair, I can. My name is Paul A. Shadira II. I reside here on the Kenai Peninsula, representing a family whose lives have been invested in the South Central area for over 100 years. Chairman Giesel, Senate members of the Resource Committee. I volunteer for many local community interests. Today I represent the South Cay Beach Independent Fishermen's Association, or SOCAI. Our mission is to protect and promote the fisheries resources returning to the Kasilof River and the Tustamina Lake watershed. The state of Alaska are fortunate to have a fish and game commissioner with such sound, long-time, continued involvement with resources within our state and, in fact, to the 200-mile limits of our concern. I have served on a board with Mr. Cotton and find his communication skills, his ability to not only listen to many different views, but also to respond in a fair, concerned, and reasonable manner. Commissioner Cotton is approachable, clearly a requirement to be able to communicate with all use resource interests. My concern with the Department of Fish and Game as a whole is that with these apparent lean times, important assessment projects will not be actuated. Clearly, less science means less opportunity for all Alaskans. I am confident that Commissioner Cotton will be able to chart a course through these shallow waters and work with all individuals and groups to have him work with the department, not apart. Less conflict can only be accomplished with strong, cooperative, honest, and transparent communications. Please support Commissioner Cotton's confirmation and future efforts working with the legislature to improve our state's precious resources. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Shadura. Next, we'll go to the Homer LIO. George Milne is there. Mr. Milne, can you hear us?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is George Malcolm Milne. I'm a resident of Homer, Alaska, and today I'm representing the North Pacific Fisheries Association. NPFA represents about 50 locally based fishing operations who use multiple gear types to harvest many species throughout the state of Alaska. Our board has voted unanimously to support Governor Walker's appointment of Sam Cotton as Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Our board is quite familiar with Mr. Cotton as he is from our neck of the woods, and I have personally worked with Mr. Cotton as a board member of the Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association. Sam Cotton knows fish and game. Sam Cotton knows Alaska, and he is compassionate about our resources. His experience on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council is invaluable to the state in protecting our interests, and his experience in the legislature is also invaluable to the entire process. We respectfully ask you to confirm Sam Cotton as ADF&G Commissioner, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Milne. So now we'll go to the off-net. The first gentleman signed up there is Jeff Farver in Sitka. Mr. Farver, can you hear us?
Hello, you got me there?
Yes, hear you loud and clear.
Technical difficulties.
Okay.
Yeah, my name is Jeff Farver. I'm testifying on behalf of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. ALFA is based in Sitka, was founded in 1978. ALFA is a nonprofit association of independent commercial longline vessel owners and crew members who are committed to continuing the sustainable harvest of sablefish, halibut, and groundfish while supporting healthy marine ecosystems, strong coastal communities through resource stewardship, and participation in federal, state, and local forums. ALFA's membership fishes in vessels ranging in size from small skiffs to 82-foot halibut schooners and everything between. We fish from Southeast Alaska to the Bering Sea. We wholeheartedly support Sam Cotton to lead the state as commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He's proven his leadership in sustaining our fisheries resources, the communities, and the small boat fleet that depend on them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Farver. The last person that I have signed up is Richard Davis, also in Sitka. Mr. Davis, welcome.
Thank you, Senator Gissel, members of the Senate Resources Committee. I'm Richard Davis, Ricky Davis. I'm representing the Seafood Producers Cooperative. We strongly encourage the confirmation of Sam Cotton to the position of the Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. We are a vertically integrated trade association of 550 commercial fishermen, 450 of whom are Alaskans, who harvest a wide variety of seafood products, including salmon, halibut, sablefish, and herring. We are the oldest and largest fishermen's cooperative in North America. Since 1944, our commercial fishermen have participated in many of Alaska's fisheries, and we range from Ketchikan to Kotzebue. We own a modern processing facility in Sitka that we constructed with our resources in 1977, and we're still at work processing and marketing fish for Alaskans. We have worked with Sam Cotton and have observed his leadership and management capabilities applied to Alaskans and their resources and upon the people reliant upon them during his tenure, or his terms, both in both branches of legislative governments. During his time on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, he was knowledgeable as well as accessible to fishery participants, including ours, and he was courteous in his exchanges with us and the other people that we observed interacting with him. We believe he's an ideal fit for this job as a commissioner We urge you, the members of the Senate Resources Committee, and all the members of both bodies of the Alaska Legislature to confirm his appointment. And I thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Davis. That ends the folks signed up to testify. Let me just check. Anyone else, Thatcher? No. Is there anyone here in the room that wishes to testify? All right. Seeing none, I'll close public testimony. I'll also note that we have received a couple letters of support from the United Fishermen of Alaska and the Southeast Alaska Fishermen's Alliance, and those are in the committee members' packets. Committee members, any further questions for Commissioner Cotton? Searching, Senator Machicki, did you have a further question?
I do.
Okay. I'll ask Commissioner Cotton to come to the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Through the chair, I noticed a lot of support letters and testimony from primarily commercial groups. Do you know of any opposition from personal use subsistence or sport groups around the state, or is there, do you know of a reason why we're not hearing from them yet?
Not sure. Senator, I didn't solicit any comments from anybody, so had I would have made an effort to bring in some sport groups too, but I don't know of any opposition. At least I haven't been told of any. I'm sure not everybody agrees on any one person, but haven't had any people or groups tell me that they were going to oppose me.
Madam Chair.
Follow-up, Senator Machicki.
Follow-up. It's just rare because normally with this sort of thing, I get many, many letters from different sides, both in support of opposition, and my email personally has been quiet. We have some of the committee letters of support here, but I don't know. In this contentious a position that for the life of me, I can't understand what you want. I would think it being this quiet is probably a pretty good thing, but just a personal observation.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. I frankly observe that all the letters and testimony have been from fishing interests versus the game interests, mm-hmm. So that's also interesting. Senator Stoltz, did I see a hand? Did you have a question?
Thank you. Madam Chair, I was just trying to gauge where we are. Are we in the valedictory, ready to send this report out, or are we...
We are, actually.
Okay, then this would probably be an appropriate time. Then.
Welcome, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Cotton, on the issue of managing our commercial fisheries in the best interest of the state of Alaska, I couldn't think of anybody I'd rather have, as I know your reputation is favoring the Alaskan fisheries, both in the communities and within that. I don't think there's anybody that I would want to manage our commercial fisheries and speak for Alaskan interests than you. I do have some concerns about the division of uses within Alaska, and that, I think that's where. And I have I also have some concerns on the game side of the issues. We have, individually, many of us have been hearing a lot from folks, but they're not to the point. A lot of them are wait and see, and is it going to get worse? Or, you know, they don't want to tilt it off by being involved at this point. And some, as you know, are not reticent about sharing their opinions, Commissioner. But the game side, I think there's been a sea change in direction of some level. I don't think 180 degrees, but there has been a shift in my opinion on the philosophy and management of game just by the change of appointments. And that's an observation. And I'll put on the record, I've known the commissioner, probably he's known my family since before I was born, or before I was really conscious of many, many events. Very long history of the family. I've worked with him at one time, and I valued my the experience I gained there. Any contentions I have with you have been almost always on the issues of intensive management and game management, and mostly concerns, but not anything tangible at this point. And the overall philosophy is how we manage our fisheries within the state. But, seafood, as we know, is our largest based employer, and I appreciate. I'm not trying to wax a few bouquets up before I throw a brick. But this is a very sincere analysis of where you've been on our managing our commercial fisheries for the best interest of Alaskans. I just don't know anybody through your advocacy on the North Pacific Council, and I've seen other commissioners that haven't had the same zeal that you had, and I expect that you're going to be exercising that zeal on behalf of Alaskans, marshaling our Alaskan majority forces. I have pretty good confidence in that, Commissioner. So I didn't want to have there have been many of folks in my area that have expressed concerns, and it's almost largely on the Alaskan internal management of our fish and game fisheries and game resources. But I'm not sure it would be a slam dunk if it was just on commercial fisheries, because we're divided on that as a state as well. But I expect you're going to get confirmed by and I expect you're going to rise to the challenges of the job. So, and I think you might be the first Chugiak alum that I've ever had a chance to vote on. So, my God, that puts a lot of pressure on me. But we'll figure that one out. So, with that, I appreciate the little bit of indulgence there, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Stoltz. Further questions or comments, Senator Coghill?
Probably a comment. First of all, gratitude, anybody who will step up, especially during tough budget times. It's an opportunity, but it's also a huge challenge. The statutes give rise to regulations, and with some of my more astute game people from the Launderhouse gang, continually remind me that our regulations don't often line up well enough with our statutes. So I would only encourage you to look down as deeply as you can. For those who get stopped in the field, think they're following the statutes, only to find out a regulation or an interpretation of a regulation went otherwise. And it has a huge impact on people's ability to live and move within an area, especially if they end up with a fine that stays permanently on the record based on what they thought they were doing honorably. And so it's something we just need to watch, I think. And then probably up in my neck of the woods, we have land use issues on those who want to use the land for recreation over against those who have good trap lines. You know, those types of things are continually going to plague us. But anyway, we can get better rules of operation on that particular area. I have, you know, trapping anymore is probably as much recreation as it is income. But it depends on the market, you know. But if we don't have good trapping, then predator management is also another issue. So, but it really burdens me when people go out with good faith trying to follow the rules, and they find out later on in interpretation of a regulation, it's third movement down from what they thought they were doing by the law. And that's so worrisome. When we get it from the legislative perspective, it's tough, because they have the right, based on regulation, to interpret some of those things. And what happens is people in good faith hunt, trying to follow the law, and they just get hammered for somebody else's interpretation. So just be aware.
Further comments or questions, committee members?
I have a comment, ma'am.
Okay. Senator Machicki.
The final one, it's a short one. Commissioner, I have a pretty high degree of confidence that you'll likely be confirmed, and all I can say is that you can't spend enough face time in communities that are impacted by fisheries decisions. And transparency is key. Early warning is key for closures, both on the sport, commercial, personal use, and subsistence sides. Many people plan their lives around these activities, as you know. You're always welcome in the district. Whatever we can do to facilitate bringing folks together, we're happy to do that. But I just can't stress that enough. Thanks.
Chair, Senator, I'll take you up on that. Thank you.
So I want to tag on something that Senator Coghill referred to, and that was trapping. My most immediate past district included Cooper Landing. They have significant issues with trapping and multi-use. So I just raise your awareness there. I know it seems odd, but there's trapping going on there. Sled dogs have been caught in some of the traps. Pets have disappeared. It's a huge concern in that small community. Lots of multi-use land in that area, federal, state, native. So it is a complex issue. So just raising your awareness there. Senator Stoltz used the word zeal, and I do hope that you will demonstrate through your actions a zeal to defend our state lands use and the use of our fish and game resources. Talking is great, but it also can be very sedating and ineffective. And so I hope that you will vigorously defend our Constitution. So if there are no further comments, I'll read the document. In accordance with AS 3905080, the Resources Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Commissioner, Department of Fish and Game, Sam Cotton. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individual during any further sessions. So we will take a moment or two to sign this document. Our next meeting will be this coming Wednesday. At that time, we're going to receive an update on Endangered Species Act, coordinated by the Department of Fish and Game. I believe the commissioner will be back at that time, so that'll be good. So at this time, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Let the record reflect the time is 4:37 p.m.